Welcome to Your Mum Life Podcast, the podcast that dives deep into the heart of motherhood, exploring the connections that bind us all. I'm your host, Jasmine, a fellow mum navigating the beautiful chaos of parenting. Before we begin, I just want to acknowledge that I am in no way professional, and any advice given by myself or a guest are based off personal experiences, unless stated otherwise. If you need professional help, we suggest reaching out to the required people. Now let's get into the episode. Hello and welcome to another episode of Your Mum Life Podcast. Today is a special episode because I'm joined by fellow mum, Mel Collingwood. You know her already from Instagram, Keeping Up With The Collingwoods. So welcome, Mel. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
Cool. So how about we start off with you telling us a little bit about yourself and what mum life looks like for you.
I am Mel. I am 33. I live on the Sunshine Coast in Queensland. I've been with my husband, Kyle, for nearly 7 years. We have two little girls and my mum lives with us also, which is obviously not as common, but yeah, that's about it. I work part-time and I love it.
Cool. I imagine having your mum there would be very helpful.
Oh, so helpful, honestly. Yeah. Lifesaver.
Oh, cool. All right, so let's dive into today's topic, which is boy mum and girl mum. So as you said, you have two girls, I have two boys, so we're kind of just going to run through the interesting concept of what that means for the different households, and just a little bit of a conversation around gender and, you know, when you're pregnant, finding out the gender and then afterwards and that sort of thing. So we have some input from the listeners. So let's go through and see what their preferences were. So we asked on Instagram if people had a preference on gender of their baby before they knew what it was. So it was a pool of about 50 people that replied. And in terms of if they had a preference of gender, it was nearly almost 50-50 with yes taking out the winning vote of having a preference over baby.
That's so
did true. You have a preference, Mel, when you were pregnant?
I didn't actually. I always thought I would have boys, and I don't know if it's just because I was mostly surrounded by them. Yeah. But honestly, I didn't have a preference. You know, as cliche as it sounds, a healthy baby is a good baby. Like, I don't mind if it's boy, of girl. Course. But yeah, no, not really ever had a preference, but I did think that I was going to have boys.
Yeah. So I'm a part of the percentage that had a preference. When my husband and I first started talking about kids, we always said that we wanted two boys. It probably wasn't until I actually had Cooper that my preference changed. But definitely, we probably wanted a boy so much for our first. We didn't even have a girl's name picked out. So we were lucky that he came out a boy. Otherwise, he may not have had a name for about a week.
Love it.
But, yeah, so it looks like most people would have a preference, which is understandable. But obviously, I think it should go without saying that, of course, everyone just wants a healthy, happy baby.
Yeah.
But that preference could still be there.
And I feel like you always visualize your life a certain way too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, you know, oh, when I have kids, like when you're younger and you picture having kids, you're like, oh, when I have a baby, it'll be a, like when I was little, I was like, I'm going to have a girl and I'm going to name her Jocelyn or something ridiculous like that. But then obviously,
yes,
when it comes around to actually getting pregnant,
yeah,
a whole different ball game.
Oh yeah, your priorities are different. Yeah, of course, absolutely. So again, out of about the 50 people we asked if they found out the gender of their kids, and assumably if you did have a preference, you wanted to know what it was, 80% said yes, they found out the gender, which to me is not that surprising. I feel like most people now do want to find out, and that leaving a surprise is a bit of an old school tradition.
Yeah.
Leaving about 20% leaving it a surprise.
Yeah.
Did you find out with your two girls?
I did. So with Lola, we had a early gender scan at like 14 weeks.
Yeah.
And my friend did like a gender reveal for us and it was really fun. But because I was so adamant she was a boy, it was really like shocking that she was a girl. Like, I was obviously over the moon.
Yeah.
And with Blakey, it was during COVID. So I got the NIPT test done and we just literally got the results over the phone by my GP.
Yeah.
So it was still exciting, but it obviously didn't have the same, like, you know, getting to do the gender reveal or, you know, finding out in a cute way. So,
I always wanted to do a gender reveal, but we didn't get to do one.
Oh, that's sad.
I know. Well, with Cooper, my husband didn't want to find out the gender. Like, that was something he was adamant he didn't want to do.
Okay.
And I was kind of like, I do want to know, but then, like, I didn't want to ruin it for him. So I was like, okay, well, we won't find out. It'll be a surprise.
Yeah.
And I think for us, because like I said, we wanted a boy. So like the fact that when he came out, I was like, it was a boy. It just felt really special. Like I actually really liked not knowing.
Yeah.
And so when people have said to me like, oh, like, should I? And I'm like, just like, at least consider not knowing, because it's still a really nice experience. But then with Charlie, I decided I wanted to find out, but Matt still didn't want to know. So I actually found out the gender at, I think I waited till 20 weeks. I did the anatomy scan at 20 weeks.
Yeah.
Found out the gender, and I didn't tell anyone that I knew the gender. Obviously, Matt knew.
That's so cool.
It was one of the hardest things I've ever had to do, because it was not only actually like I like didn't know if it was a boy or a girl, but didn't know that I even like had found out.
That's so, so cool. I love it.
It was such a long, however many months
I bet that was a long 20 weeks.
Yeah, it was like, oh, I just want to tell people. It was hard, like, also keeping it from Matt, because I was like, because I knew that we were having another boy, like I was keeping all of Cooper's stuff, and I was like, I don't want to make it too obvious I'm keeping Cooper's stuff. So it was really tricky, and I actually, I cried. I actually ruined it for Matt on the way to the hospital. So I had kept it a secret for 20 weeks. I was probably like 2 hours off, like it, like not having told him. And we were on the way to the hospital, like everything, like we were cool and calm, because, you know, we're like, we've done this before, we're all good, like on the way to the hospital. And Matt's like, oh, like how long do you think we're going to be in the hospital this time for? Like, is it going to be a bit quicker? And I was like, oh, yeah, well, they'll do some of his tests.
Oh,
and
both no.
Kind of just went, oh, and I just bawled my eyes out. Because oh. I was like, I'm so close to the end. Like, and Matt's like, well, I can't really be mad at you because you're, like, having contractions. Like,
and your guards would have been totally down because you're preparing yourself to go into, like, being a mum of two. Like, you're so mentally drained from being pregnant. And then thinking about all what's going to come, because you know what's happening this time.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. I just let it slip, and I was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And he was like, look, I can't be mad. It's happened. Like, I got
this. Solid effort, though, 20 weeks without.
I think I deserve a medal for that one. You do. Yeah, it was very difficult.
100%. Mm. I said to Kyle, if we had a third baby, I wouldn't want to find out.
Yeah.
I don't know why, like, I love the idea of not knowing, but I am such an anxious person, and, like, I love to be prepared that, like, I just want to know.
Yeah.
But I just think it's so cool not to find out.
Yeah, I think that's why the second time I did want to know, because I was like, well, I want to know if I'm keeping clothes or throwing them out, because, like, logically thinking, like, our house isn't that big, like, I can't, like, store clothes and get new ones, like, I just need to know what I need to do.
Yeah, 100%.
There's practicality there.
Yeah, definitely. But that's cool. The perk of having like the same gender twice is like you already have all the stuff.
Exactly.
I probably bought maybe like up until Blakey was old enough to like, you know, wear cuter clothes. I think I probably bought her 3 outfits before she was born, and that was literally it.
Yeah. Well, you've got all the hand-me-downs, and like, yeah, I've been a bit the same with Charlie. Like as he gets older and maybe has more of like, you know, his own interests, I'll buy him different stuff. But like, at the moment, yeah, he pretty much just gets hand-me-downs. And I don't know about you, but I'm leaning into the whole, like, dressing my children the same, even though they're different ages.
Yes, I love it. I actually live for it. It's my favourite thing about girls. Mm.
It's like, just so much easier. And, like, now that Cooper and Charlie are in the same section of clothes, like, I just go, yep, size 6, size 1, done. Like, it's so much less hassle than, like, picking our outfits.
That's so funny because the girls are, like, because Lola's quite petite, like, the girls share clothes.
Yes.
So, like, I buy anything from, like, a size 2 to a size 5, and they kind of just, like,
both pick
whatever. Just
so
works.
Just have one wardrobe. That would be
yeah, so we have it all in one chest of drawers. It just works.
Yeah.
No. So much easier for finding something to wear.
Yes. So hard dressing children. And then you're, like, so we try and dress them, like, nicely, and then they're, like, no, they wear, you know, like, whatever. So funny. Cool. All right, so we have discussed having a preference and then finding out the gender. The next thing I wanted to discuss is like the idea of gender disappointment.
Yeah,
it is something that I have seen women actually receive hate for online for sharing their experience with disappointment.
Yeah.
And many women can feel shame for having it. Again, we went to Instagram polls, and of that 50 people, 61% said they did not have gender disappointment, whereas 37% said yes, and 2% hadn't actually heard of gender disappointment and knew what it meant.
Oh, wow.
So what would be your experience with gender disappointment, whether it's yourself or someone you know?
So I didn't have any personally, so, like, I obviously can't, you know, I wouldn't judge anyone if they did anyway. But one of my best friends, she had a little boy first. Yeah. And then we were actually pregnant with our third babies at the same time. But okay, for her second son, I did a gender reveal for her. I was so excited. We went to the scan. The woman wrote down on a piece of paper what it was. I waited till I got to the car to look, and it said a girl. And when I tell you, I bawled because I knew how much she wanted a girl.
Yeah.
Went to Spotlight, got the balloons. I'd painted this whole box, like pink and blue, put the balloons in the box, got to the car. I had a phone call from the sonographer.
Yep.
And she said, oh, I think I actually got the gender wrong. I'm like 95% sure it's a boy. And I was like, oh my God, okay.
So, how did you get it wrong?
Because Jax's little penis was between his legs.
Oh,
so
no.
It looked like the three like folds rather than like an actual penis.
Yeah, okay. So I did the anatomy scan.
Yeah.
Like the blood test to confirm. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so then I was obviously, like, I almost felt like I had gender disappointment. I think because in my brain I was already like, oh my God, she's going to be so happy it's a girl. Yeah. Went to the back of my car, popped these pink balloons like a psychopath. Went back into Spotlight, got blue ones. And then when she did the gender reveal, I filmed it. And I knew when I was filming it that she was going to be
upset. That would have been hard.
So,
your friend, you probably wanted to, like, just tell her privately. Like,
honestly, yeah. But anyway, so we did it, and it was just, like, it was awful. Like, I felt so bad for her.
Yeah.
And so, you know, she's like, oh, okay. And then I was like, do you want to redo it? So we put the balloons back in the box and redid it for, like, a much, you know.
She actually did. Like, she
much more, you know.
Oh, but that's sad, though, that, like, she felt like she had to have, like, an happy reaction. Like, I mean, and again, like, we always will go back to, as long as it's healthy and happy, that's the baseline. But, like, you can't stop emotions like that.
No.
Like,
okay. And then when I was pregnant with Lola, she also found out she was pregnant. Yeah. And she was like, oh, I want to say 10 weeks behind me.
Yeah.
And she did my gender reveal for me, and she was so happy. Like, I was so stunned how excited she was that I was having a girl. I think because subconsciously she knew she was pregnant with another boy.
Yeah.
And sure enough, fast forward, whatever it was, did her gender reveal. It was another boy.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, happy ending, they got a girl for their fourth baby.
I always wonder the people that say, no, we'll keep going until we get what we want. Like, how many kids would they have to have?
Well, Amelia was a little surprised, so, like, she wasn't planned.
So the world knew that a little girl was needed.
Yes. But, so, like, I had, like, because I did her gender reveal for a third son as well.
Yeah.
Like, there was a little bit in me that, like, felt guilty when I opened the card and it said boy.
Yeah.
But, you know, she already prepared herself. She was already like, I know it's another boy.
Yeah.
So, you know, we did the gender reveal. It was really cute. Did, like a dartboard with balloons and more blue than pink. And it was gorgeous. And she, you know, had a much better reaction that time. But, I think internally she was still probably a little bit sad because she just so badly longed for a girl.
Yeah.
But, yeah, she got a girl in the end, so.
Yes, yeah. Well, I can definitely relate to your friend. Like I said, with Cooper, we wanted a boy. And we always, like, for as long as we had been together, which is, like, 12 years now, whatever, we had said we were going to have two boys called Cooper and Charlie. So, obviously, manifested too hard because after we had Cooper, I don't, like, because I'm one of two sisters, so boys are not, like, overly familiar to me.
Yeah.
And so after having Cooper, I was like, oh, no, it would actually be quite nice to have a girl.
Yeah.
And then I got that in my head and I was like, I want a girl, I want a girl, I want a girl. And then that was also part of the reason I wanted to find out with Charlie, because I knew that I was going to have gender disappointment if it was a boy.
Yeah.
And I was so worried about leaving that disappointment to when he was born, because I was like, I can't bring this baby into the world and go, oh, I wish it was a, like, to me, I was like, this is not the time for the disappointment.
Yeah, definitely.
So I wanted to find out earlier. So I actually recorded my reaction to finding out that he was a boy. Like, it was obviously just me because no one knew. And, like, I'm watching it back, like, I can see in my eyes, like, I'm trying to play it off. It's like, oh, it's another boy. But, like, your friend, I was, like, trying to make it look like I was excited, but I knew that I was, like, okay, like, and I can still see, like, the word boy. And I should have known because the stenographer even said, he's like, I'm, like, 100% sure. Like, he also, like, knew pretty quickly too, which is kind of obvious that it would have been a boy then. So, yeah, sort of sitting with that disappointment and going, yep, it's another boy, like, and obviously I'm just happy that we have healthy and happy baby, and now looking at the two of them, they're like bonding together. It's been really nice. So,
especially like giving them a little best friend.
Yes,
like,
oh,
being
absolutely.
The same gender, like, they're gonna, you know, grow up together,
yeah,
with the same, you know, I don't know what the word,
yeah,
is.
Yeah, similar experiences.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, yeah, exactly. And you know, they're gonna bond together over silly boy stuff, whereas, you know, your girls, as they get older, they're going to go through the same girl stuff. Like, yeah. it's and like, I'm, like I said, I'm one of two sisters, and for me that was really nice having that bond. My husband's one of three brothers, and he's got that bond with like the boys and sport and all that sort of stuff. And so yeah
Carl's one of two boys. I think that's also why I had in my head that we're gonna have a boy,
yeah,
because he was one of two boys, and obviously like the male decides what the gender is.
What I thought too. There's lots of boys on my husband's side,
whereas my side's like completely all over the shop. I've got two sisters and two brothers, and then like another sister.
Yeah,
but yeah, so interesting.
Yeah, so do you think, I mean, you said previously that you might have wanted a boy. If you were to have a third, would you want it to be a boy?
I think that it's not so much as, like, I wanted to have a boy. I just would love to see, like, what they look like. You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah, like how that would fit into your family.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. I never really thought about it until after we had the two girls. And I'm sure you've got it too, where people come up to you and be like, oh, two girls. Are you going to try for a boy?
Yes, they always just assume, don't they?
And I'm just like, shut the fuck up. Like, for people that have struggled with infertility and stuff, like, they don't care what the gender of their baby is. Like, just don't say stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, yeah, crazy. Boy-wise, like, I was never fussed with gender. But, you know, it would be so interesting to see what they look like. And because my girls look so different, to me, they look different.
What
would he look like, you know?
Yeah. Do you think your husband, like, is he, like, would he have wanted to have a son to have that bond with?
So he so badly wanted a girl.
Oh, really?
When we were trying. But he so badly wanted a girl. I don't know why. I don't know. I think it's because he likes working on cars. He's like, oh, it'd be so cool to have, like, a daughter to show, you know, how to change a tire, or I don't know.
Yeah.
And then when we got pregnant with Blakey, I was like, do you have a preference this time around? Because you obviously wanted a girl first. And he said, I'd actually love another girl. So,
yeah, really? Oh.
I don't know if it's because he's from, like, two boys or...
Yeah, he wanted that different.
Yeah, I don't know. But, yeah, he was so happy when we had another girl. I'm sure he's regretting that now because they're a freaking handful, but
yes,
I feel like that comes with any gender.
Yeah. No, I feel like it's nice. So, like, I know my dad, he took being a girl dad, like, he handled it really well, even down to, you know, teenage years, nitty-gritty periods, like, it didn't scare him off or anything. So I think it takes a special man to be comfortable being a girl dad.
Oh, absolutely. And Carl's the best of the best. I'm very lucky.
Oh, good. Cool. All right, we have discussed the ideas around gender before they're born, but let's talk about afterwards and the experiences that come with raising boys and girls. What is your household like with two girls? Well, ultimately three, I suppose, leaving your husband outnumbered.
I feel like it's just, I don't know, it's not like pink and frills and like what you think a girl's household is like, because like we don't have any limits on toys. Like, you can like dinosaurs or Barbies or cars or whatever.
Yeah.
But look, it's very emotional at times, but I feel like that comes with the ages of the girls at the moment. Like, Lola's 4 and she's having massive feelings, and, you know, Blakey's 2 and she's stubborn as all hell. And
it's
an interesting place to live. I do feel bad for my mum sometimes, because I'm like, I would go and lock myself in my room if I were you.
Yeah. And it's funny how you say that, like, the emotions, because, yeah, like, Cooper's 4 and the same. We've got so many big emotions, like, and, like, although I wonder sometimes, like, Cooper's expression of frustration and anger is just to be loud and shouting, but I'm kind of wondering if that's more our household than necessarily a boy thing, because there's, yeah, lots of loudness in our house. But same with the toy thing. Like, I'll admit, we overall do look stereotypical boy house. We have a lot of cars, we have a lot of traps, we've got dinosaurs. But Cooper was obsessed with the movie Frozen for like 6 months. Like, you know, there's all little hints of, you know, all sorts of things. But then I kind of wonder, like Cooper does occasionally ask for like girly toys. But yeah, I suppose our whole household is a little bit more stereotypical boy. But I worry sometimes because, like, I don't know about your girls if they've started school or in daycare or anything, but Cooper comes home sometimes, he's like, oh no, that's for girls. And you're kind of like, well, it doesn't have to be, but, like, how do I word it like that he will understand? Like,
I do feel like we're very lucky in the generation that we're in at the moment, though. Like, I feel there's a lot of, like, generational trauma healing happening in our generation of, like, parenting. Like, I know for me, I don't want to say the easiest upbringing, but, you know, like, I had abandonment issues because my dad left. You know, like, having children of my own, I was always like, I never want them to feel like their parent doesn't love them. And again, like, I want to be a safe space for my kids. So, you know, I've done a bit of work on myself to make sure that, you know, I'm not perfect, obviously, but I'm going to put in the work to make sure that I can be the best parent for them. And, like, I yell, I lose my shit at times. Like, I am a person. Like, I also want to be very conscious in, you know, raising my girls in a generation that isn't, you know, stereotypical, I can't speak, stereotypical, or, you know, boys can't cry, or, you know, girls are just meant to be barefoot and pregnant in the kitchen cooking. Like, that's, you know, I think we're very lucky in the fact that we are raising our children in a generation where that doesn't really exist so much anymore.
Oh, absolutely.
Or if it does, it's not the main issue.
Yeah, I feel like, yeah, like you said, we are that generation of, like, generational trauma where the change, which I personally am conflicted with, because I'm like, I don't know if I want that responsibility.
Oh, yeah.
Like, trying to be the change, and, like, and it's hard. Like, you see heaps of people talking about, you know, you've got to parent yourself, or you've got to regulate your emotions first before you can regulate their emotions, and that's not necessarily something that we've been taught, so it's hard to do. But I think even if any parent is willing to try and do that, that's what's making you a good parent. That's what's making you the difference, is that you're willing to try. Definitely. And like you said, like, I've had days where I feel like I'm shouting all day, but then at the end of the day, I'll go, sorry, mate, I didn't mean to yell at you. Mummy's just a bit frustrated.
And that's the thing. Like, I think, like, I've watched a lot of things myself and, like, read quite a few, you know, Instagram posts and stuff about how, like, I feel like they make it sound so complicated, but it can just be as simple as, like, apologizing to your child, or, you know, explaining to your child that, like, you know, mum gets really, you know, stressed, anxious, overwhelmed, and, like, explaining that to them. Because at the end of the day, yes, they're children, but they're not stupid.
Exactly. And then you're also then showing them those emotions, you know, you're teaching them the emotions at the same time, like, you know. Cooper sometimes gets confused of, you know, if he's angry or upset, or, you know, like, he just goes straight to anger because he knows anger.
Yes.
He doesn't know, like, I'm jealous of something, I'm this of something. Like, it's just so trying to express the different emotions and how to handle each one.
Yeah, definitely. And, like, at the end of the day, we're all doing the best we can. We're all gonna make mistakes. But as long as, like, your kids know that you're not purposely, you know, being cruel or unkind.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, sometimes I think, like, I yell way too much and, like, I think, am I ruining my child? But then Lola goes and, you know, has a mental breakdown and then goes and apologises to her sister for, you know, taking it out on her. Then I'm like, okay, well, I'm doing something right here.
Yeah, and there's that little proud moment. You're like, oh.
I'm like, I'm not screwing my kid up. Yay.
Yeah. Yay. We did it. Yeah. So it sounds like whether it's boy or girl, ultimately, it probably comes down to an age thing. And obviously, as they get older, we'll go through different experiences with parenting.
Yeah.
But I think, like you said, at the younger age, at this age, around, you know, 4, as they're growing up, it's a lot of emotions and teaching them emotions. And like you said, like, we don't want boys to think they can't cry. They don't want girls to think they cry too much or, you know, that sort of thing. Like, we really want to make it even. Which, yeah, I think is hard being that generation that's supposed to be the change. It's a lot of pressure, but
it is.
Hopefully we do it right. And then there's, of course, as they grow up, you know, I know with, like I said, with Cooper, like, sometimes he thinks, oh no, that's only for girls. And I'm like, I worry that as he grows up, he's going to hide his personality because he's scared that, you know, boys aren't supposed to do that, or no, only girls can do that. Like, have you noticed in your girls, like, have they shown interest in something that, you know, is probably more for boys and have been shied away from it? Or
it's funny, since Lola's started school, like, she only started daycare in July last year, and I feel like I've noticed more since she's been at school that she's definitely gotten into the more girly things.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's just because of, you know, like, the social aspect of daycare. I can't speak today. The social aspect of daycare and, like, obviously, you know, monkey see, monkey do.
Yeah.
Because it's not only, like, the toy side of things that I've noticed. It's also, like, her eating. Like, she tries way more foods now.
Oh, that's good.
But, yeah, I feel like since she started daycare, she's definitely way more into, like, the dolls and the unicorns and, like, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think maybe, like, I don't know if it's, like, the kids or the educators or whatever it is that, I don't know, I don't want to say pushes it onto them, but I feel like...
Yeah, but someone's showing her or telling her that
they're
going to play with these things, yeah.
And, like, I do think probably it'd be more kids.
Yeah.
Because, like, maybe they've been in daycare longer and they're used to playing with, like, the dolls and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, I don't hate it. Like, don't get me wrong, it's really cute to come out dressed as a freaking princess. And I'm like, I love this.
Yeah.
For daycare, like, Lola was super into, like, because of Blippi and stuff like that she's seen on TV. She, like, loved excavators and still now she
does. Oh, yes.
And, like, we live really close to, like, train tracks.
Yes.
So, like, she's always been obsessed with trains. Like, we went through a stage where all she would watch was, like, train videos, which was really irritating.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah, she's definitely, like, grown more into the girly girl side of things, whereas I feel like because Blakey sees everything that she does, she's also into, like, the babies, but she's, like, obsessed with dinosaurs. Like, if there's dinosaurs involved, she don't care about babies.
Yeah.
But, like, she loves the babies. Like, not so much Barbie dolls, but, like, the babies, the LOL dolls, like, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I think also it just comes down to maybe the individual child's personality. Like, it's just, I know kids that love costumes and they'll wear absolutely any kind of costume, boy or girl, no matter what, they just like dressing up. Like, it just comes down to the child. And it's going back to the, like, raising, you know, the different genders. So is there anything sort of in the moving forward in life you're worried about with girls? Because I know obviously with girls, there's still a lot of gender inequality, so there's probably things that, you know, maybe not right now you're thinking about, but in the future you might.
A big thing for me is body image.
Yeah,
like growing up and having very poor, like, body image issues, I do get concerned about that, and we do really try not to talk about people's bodies in our house.
Yeah,
obviously, like, I don't have control on what happens at daycare or what happens outside of my home.
Yeah.
But, like, we do try and make a conscious effort of not talking about people's, like, bodies.
Yes. Yeah.
Which is really difficult. Like, obviously, like, my mum lives with us and, like, sometimes, you know, she'll say something and I'll be like, ooh.
Yeah.
But, you know, at the end of the day, like, that is that generation, you know? Like,
yeah.
She is great. She also tries not to, like, overstep, which is great.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we do make, like, a really conscious effort to not talk about people's bodies.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially like Lola's always been a very little girl. Like she's very petite. A lot of weight issues when she was little.
Yeah.
But yeah, whenever my family loved them to pieces, but sometimes we'll go to a family event and someone will be like, oh, Lola's so tiny. Oh, Blakey's so much bigger than her. And I'm just like internally like screaming.
Yeah. You kind of like, don't say it. So I can hear like, you kind of worry how the kid, how they'll interpret it.
Yeah. And like, you know, Blakey's definitely more my body type.
Yeah.
And Lola's definitely more Kyle's body type. But
yeah,
it's just something that we try to make a really conscious effort on not doing. But obviously like I can only do what I can do in my house, but I also really try to make a conscious effort to explain to them that like we don't talk about other people's body because that might make them feel uncomfortable or sad or you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's probably my biggest concern just because of my own
experiences.
Yeah. And like I obviously don't want to pass on my issues to my children, but it's something that always plays at the back of my mind.
Yeah, yeah, no, I understand that. I feel a bit the same with Cooper sometimes, but more in the sense of like, you know, boys are meant to be manly and strong and things like that. Like, we're sort of in the habit at the moment trying to get Cooper to eat vegetables, which I'm sure every parent can relate to.
What's vegetables?
But we say to him, like, oh, you know, if you eat your broccoli, you're like, you'll be big and strong. He's like, really? He's like, puts his muscles out. He's like, oh, I'm so strong. I'm like, well, you don't have to be that kind of strong. Like, it's just your body is strong, like, oh, yeah, energy, definitely. Like, and, you know, then trying to, like, use the wording differently, so it's like, okay, so when, like, you're not changing the physical appearance of your body.
And kids are so literal, like,
oh, exactly.
You can just be like, you're so strong, and they're like, I'm so strong, and like, muscular strong, rather than like, you know,
just like,
mentally strong or just like physically strong in your own body.
Yeah.
So that's so hard.
Yeah. And then we actually had, because Cooper started, I know the schools are so different over Australia, I have no idea how it works, but Cooper has started our version of kindy, so 4-year-olds.
Yeah.
And they sent out like a letter like, oh, we're going to have all the kids do like a general health check with a nurse. I was like, oh, okay, cool, no worries, it's free, no harm. And then he went and my husband took him and apparently he's got a high BMI.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, can kids that age,
I feel like BMI is so outdated. Like, why are we still doing this?
Yeah. And I was sort of like, and Cooper is big for a 4-year-old. Like, he very often gets mistaken for, like, a 5-6-year-old. Like, he's tall and, like, he's not, like, big or anything in, like, weight-wise, but he's just, you know, he's filled out, essentially.
Yeah.
And I was sort of like, well, I'm not worried about that because he's 4. Like, he's still got a lot of growing to do. And, like, I hear all these things about, you know, kids grow out and then up and, like, all sorts of things. And, like, some days he eats a lot and then other weeks he doesn't eat as much because he's not having a growth spurt. I'm like, surely at this age we can kind of, unless there's, like, actual health issues involved, just go, okay, if the kid's body is what the kid's body is, like, let's wait until they're grown and see what happens. Like,
and genetics play such a big role in, like, weight and body type. Like, I'm so stunned that they're like, his BMI is high. I'm like, do we still use BMI now?
Apparently we do.
That is freaking wild. The only time that worked in my favor was when I was pregnant with Lola and they're like, oh, your BMI is 0.1.
Really?
Percent higher than what it should be, so you should go for your, like, glucose tolerance test early. And I had GD, so I found out early. Like, that's the only time that, like, BMI has actually been helpful.
I feel like while they're still little, we just enjoy that they are who they are, not, you know, who the world thinks they should be. We think, keep the approach of, like, look ahead, but not that far ahead. Like,
yeah. It's, you know, like, ignorance is bliss for...
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as things come up, obviously, you're going to address it. Like, in our household, Cooper is very familiar to, you know, penises. He's got one. His dad's got one. His brother's got one. Hasn't quite approached that mummy doesn't have one yet.
Yeah, just got to that.
He has theories, which were a very, like... A very G-rated, so we're, like, just leaving it at that. Like, it's love fine. It. Like, we're just going, yep, mummy doesn't have one. That's fine. And, yeah, it's funny because I'm sort of, like, I'm in a position where I'm not uncomfortable around them. Like, if I'm getting changed in the bedroom and he walks in, I'm not fazed. I'm like, it's whatever. But I'm kind of like, I guess at some point I'm going to have to go, actually, no, you can't come in. Like,
I know, and that's so hard because, like, Kyle and I were discussing this the other day because Lola's, like, a bit in her mind about having another sibling, which is completely off the cards. Like, it's absolutely never going to happen. And, like, I've obviously explained to her, like, you know, mummy and daddy can't have any more babies. We would prefer not to have any more babies. We think you and your sister are plenty. But, yeah, like, I sort of said to Kyle, I was like, at what point do we stop sort of, because the girls like to have baths with Kyle and he always wears underwear, you know, but he's like, you know, like, at what point is it like inappropriate? Is it inappropriate because it's their parent?
Yeah. Like, there's that sort of like thin line because like, unfortunately in some situations it is inappropriate, like with, but that's a whole other topic. But like, if it's like a loving dad that's like, I just want to spend time with my kids, surely that's okay.
Like, it kind of got to an age where like Lola was asking like, why do you have that, and like mummy and Blakey and I have, and like we sort of got onto like what they're called, like vagina and penis, and then, like, I was like, I don't even know how to explain to you why daddy has a penis and why we don't, like,
because I feel like once you do that, the sex talk is inevitable because that that's kind of why, like.
And then she, because I had a like vaginal birth with her and a C-section with Blakey, and she was sort of like, oh, I don't know where she got it from, but she was like, babies come out of mummy's vaginas, and I'm like, why do you know that? And I was like, well, Blakey didn't. And she's like, where did Blakey come out of? And then like I showed her my C-section scar and she was all like, oh my god.
She was like, what? I was so weird. For you, it's going to be, like, you'll probably do a fair bit of the explaining to the girls, you know, all that sort of stuff. Whereas I'm like, do I leave that to Matt to talk about? Like, because I don't know how the penis works in that sort of sense. Like, you know, when we did toilet training, we struggled with Cooper to get toilet training. I think it took us, like, a solid year. And we are finally, thank God, out of nappies. But thanks. But in the end, it was sort of like Matt saying, hey, mate, like, copy me, like, stand here and do it. Like, because apparently with boys, they're like, teach them to sit on the toilet first so that they don't miss. But for us, it was Cooper standing there watching his dad do it. And I'm like, well, I'll leave that to you because I can't do that. So, like, I think, I think a lot of our sort of explanations around body will come from Matt more than it will come from me, which. It's kind of like, oh, like, I don't know, I was talking to about this and Matt the other day, how it's like, and I don't know if your husband feels this at all, but being the, like, minority gender in your household, sometimes you're kind of like, oh, I'm a little bit, I'm outside of the boys' club. Like, obviously I still have moments with them that are, like, my moments, but, like, at the end of the day, it's like if they're doing boy stuff, it's like, well, mum's not allowed, like.
See, that's so funny because, like, usually I'm the one that's, like, shafted from the whole experience. Like, they'll be outside, like, painting or whatever. And Lola's like, oh, it's okay, Mum. Like, you can go and do whatever you need to do. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
And, like, I think it's just because, like, Kyle works more than, like, more days than I do. So I have, like,
they want to spend that time with him.
Wednesdays with Blakey and then Thursday with, like, both of them. So, like, I have that extra day. So, like, when Kyle's home, I'm just, like, not that interesting.
Yeah, like old news, we're probably a bit the same, like on weekends and stuff. Matt's always like, all right, we're getting out of the house, we're going somewhere. It's like, well, I want to clean, so that's the fun one on the weekends. To round us out as we get to the end of the episode, as a girl mum, what advice would you give to other girl mums or just parents in general?
Be your child's safe space.
Like,
was very lucky to grow up with a mum that is, like, still now, I'm, what, 30-something, 33? And my mum's still, like, my best friend. So, you know, having that, like, bond and knowing that I could go to her about anything and she wouldn't just fly off the handle is, like, so important to me as a mum to be that for my own kids. And I feel like, because she was always my safe space, like, I never felt like I needed to go and rebel or do anything crazy like that. So I obviously want to be that for my kids, for them, and also for myself, to not have to worry that they're going to go off and do something crazy.
Yes, yeah, I can relate to that one. I, as the child, did something crazy, so I'm hoping that my boys do not follow my footpaths. But yeah, same. And I think that's sort of like, regardless of the gender, like you want your kids to be able to come to you. Like, I know in my household, I had both parents present and I felt comfortable talking to my dad as much as I did about talking things with my mum.
Yeah.
And yeah, to me, that was really special to be able to do that. So I can only hope for the same thing for my boys, that no matter what it is, they're comfortable. You know, if it's talking about their emotions, they're happy to go to Matt about it. They don't think that's, you know, a girl thing, or
thing, yeah,
vice versa sort of thing. Like, yeah, just to have the house be a safe space, I think is a really good idea.
Definitely.
Cool. Well, thank you so much for joining me, Mel. It has been absolutely lovely to chat to you. As we've connected on Instagram, but to actually sit and chat has been really nice.
It has been.
If people want to follow you, where can they find you on Instagram?
Keeping Up with the Collingwoods, because I finally changed my Instagram name.
Yes. Nick profile, everything. Awesome. Yeah. Cool. All right, everyone. Well, thank you for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed the episode. Make sure you follow or subscribe to the podcast so you can be updated when new episodes come out. And you can follow us on Instagram at Your Mum Life Podcast. And we'll see you next time.